expressed interest in Wednesday night. We're still working out the details of that. But each time I get together with the kids, how long are you going to be gone? Who's going to teach us next year? But it has been just a blessing to pour into the kids on Wednesday night. I could not have done it without Annie Plooster. She's in there every week. Just helping in many different ways. And also Sandy Kaufman. She's helped us with our, develop our bell choir and just with the other craft projects and our messy nights and different things of that sort. So you ladies are to be commended for your efforts in there as well. At this time, I would like the kids to come up. Originally, Pastor had scheduled throughout the summer highlighting children's ministries. And Pastor Dennis got up and did his presentation, and then Don did his on Father's Day. And we weren't scheduled until August 11th. But I'm not going to be here. So the kids are going to come up today and demonstrate the Mega Sports Camp songs that the kids are going to be learning at camp this year. We're going to be doing three of them. One of them they don't like, but they do it anyway. They said it's sad. I said, no, it's not sad. It's worship. It's just a slower song. So trying to get them to understand that part of it was a challenge. But I am really going to miss these guys. They have been a big part of my life this year and the last couple years. I have learned as much from them as they have from me. So, guys, if you will come up, take your places, and we will get you started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're in the middle. Or, no, you're with Elizabeth now. Oh, okay. You're with Elizabeth. A couple people weren't here for practice, so we have to Yeah. Okay, you guys are over here. You guys are up front. You guys scoot down. Okay, in between each person. Okay, so meet you over here. There you go. Come this way a little bit more. Good job. Go ahead, Brent.
Tree. They each made a bad decision, and they were.
You guys did a fantastic job. Thank you. Thank you so much. We have fun on Wednesday nights. So you have a partial worship group ready for Mega Sports Camp. Some of they'll be there to help you learn the song. So first, I have to say thank you. Kids, you are dismissed to junior church. I need to say thank you to so many people. I couldn't have gotten this far without all of you. For past and present boards who have dealt with my shortcomings, Pastor Joe, who has at times had to pull me on the carpet, keep me straight and just encouraged, challenged, just so many areas, being patient as I created my job here as an administrator. We found out early on I wasn't a secretary, but usually give me a task and I get it done. Pastor Mike, who has been, again, kept me accountable, encouraged, never impatient with me when I couldn't remember a computer. You know, I would always walk back to his office. Remember about 4 months ago you showed me how to get to this program or this thing? And he would drop everything, stop whatever he's doing, and show me on his computer. Okay, go here, 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 here. Multiple times over the years. If I don't use it, I lose it. So if it's not something I do every day, it doesn't stick. But just thank you for your encouragement and your patience with me as well. And it's finally here, the time to go. I leave tomorrow night. I think I'm packed. But after receiving an email from one of the other missionaries yesterday saying, "Do you need help packing?" She gave me several other items that I should bring with me that I don't have room for in my suitcase. So this afternoon we're kind of repacking, trying to make room for that stuff. Like toothpaste is very difficult to get over there and very expensive. So she said, make sure you bring extra. Pictures of the family. They want to see where I come from, who my family is, who my church family is, where I live, my city. So, you know, putting a photo album together. Just little things like that. I want to thank all those who have supported me. Financially has been the biggest challenge for me. Many of you have helped with fundraisers or one-time cash donations. Many of you have pledged monthly support. And some of you have been giving that support from day one, and I know that has been a sacrifice for you, but I hope you will be blessed by your giving as much as I am blessed by your sacrifice. Your support enables me to go, but we go as partners. It's not me going, it's all of us going. I can't get there without financial help. I can't get there without prayer support. And all of you, I know at times, have prayed on my behalf, encouraging me, lifting me up, keeping me accountable, keeping me challenged. It has not been an easy process. I'm very introverted and shy, so this is, you know, it's difficult for me to make those requests. your prayer support, that is essential on the field. Many missionaries have told me we will have difficult days. There will be times when we question why we're there or just be so homesick, you know, that we want to go home. It's those times when you guys are back here praying on my behalf that get me through those tough days. So please continue that for me. I appreciate that. And emotionally, just being an encouragement to me, keeping me on task, pushing me forward, not letting me falter, but helping me to persevere and get through it. A Google search on the word persevere brings up several definitions. Merriam-Webster says, it is defined as a continued effort to do or achieve something despite the difficulties, failures, or opposition. Work through it. Vocabulary.com says that perseverance is not giving up. It is persistence and tenacity. The effort required to do something and keep doing it till the end, even if it's hard. Other words for perseverance are backbone, determination, doggedness, drive, endurance, steadfastness, and spunk. The Bible has several references to perseverance, although in many cases it uses various other words. In Galatians 6:9 it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up." In Psalms 27:14, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." In Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he compares our journey of faith to a runner in a race. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should." A person doesn't just go into the closet one day and grab their shoes out of the back of the closet, put them on, and go out for a run. They train themselves. Each day, that determination to get up early, the days and the weeks, the months turn into a habit of vigorous physical and mental training, of being able to run that race. The sacrifice of that sweet dessert or that extra day off, I don't feel like running today, or sleeping in. It's those disciplines that make a run a little easier. And so it should be with our walk with Christ. Our goal is not to get a medal or to break a world record. Our goal is to have eternal life with the Father. This requires us to discipline ourselves with daily worship and prayer and Bible study. This trains us to be in tune with God, to rely on Him, trusting Him, to do His will in His time. It trains us to be able to withstand the trials and unexpected things that happen in life. I know the last 3 years have been difficult for me. I lost both my parents and several good friends. And it took me a long time to get through that. But I know that God was there with me through that. He was holding me up. Patience and perseverance are often used interchangeably. To persevere, you must have patience. Pastor Mike shared his fruit of the Spirit a couple weeks ago on patience. And it's the ability to wait or to endure without being disturbed or annoyed. It implies the exercise of calmness and self-control, not only under suffering or being persecuted, but also while waiting for something requiring time and effect or some unwarranted delay. Let patience work. It's not a passive, but an active word. Apathy is passive. We're not to sit back and think God will do all the work. But by patience, we gain the glory over those delays. We need to do our part to make it happen in God's time. So in times of trial, let patience and not passion be at work within you. Nothing of worth is produced by achieved suddenly. An acorn does not grow into a mighty oak overnight. A seed planted in the ground today does not become a mature plant tomorrow. Any of you gardeners out there know that. It took some time to get everything growing. You in the business world know that a business started on a shoestring does not grow into a multi-million dollar corporation in a few months. Qualities of noble and strong character are not built into a life in a few days. Or a life of easy living, but through years of suffering and trial. Those oaks that are out on the lawn were just saplings when I first came here 15 years ago, mixed in with the blueberry plants that were still on the property. And so many things have happened in those 15 years. And as most of you know, just over a little over 3 years ago, I went on a 14-week missions trip with Convoy of Hope. And during that missions trip, we spent 5.5 weeks in Moldova. And before I left Moldova, I knew that God had called me to return to Moldova. I knew I was going back. But leading up to Moldova, I knew I had a calling to missions. Sitting back right about where Annie's sitting right now, the missions convention. And I heard God say audibly, I looked around to see if anybody else heard, "Lola, I want you to go for me." It took a few years for him to tell me where. Now the hard part. Though I knew my calling specifically, I had to get there. A year is what I planned. 1 year to prepare and get my funding. One last Christmas at home for a while. My Christmas list that year was for things that I would need in Moldova. I was prepared to go. I was like that runner pacing at the starting blocks, waiting for the gunshot. And I kind of stalled. It just wasn't coming together. I mean, the funding part of it. And like I said, because I'm kind of introverted, it's a difficult process for me to do my fundraising. And it went so much slower than I anticipated. And sometimes discouragement sets in. I mean, this is God's plan, right? So why isn't it happening? Why aren't things falling into place? My daughter kept saying, when it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And Lorna said, it's all in God's time. But about this time last year, I started questioning. I kept setting departure dates, and then they would pass by. And the next one. And then the third one. And doubt began to set in. I never questioned my call. I just questioned if it was ever going to happen. I mean, let's face it, I'm no spring chicken anymore. So my time is short as far as the Assemblies of God's window that I can serve. So if God calls me to serve more, I will. But as far as the AG, 65 is the cutoff. So, but we're not always aware of how God is working behind the scenes. Why the delay? God's perfect plan coming to completion. The missionaries that I was originally assigned to were reassigned, so they needed a transition time. The new missionaries, John and Adriana Lungu, were, unbeknownst to me, transitioning out of ministries north of the capital to move to the south of the capital to start ministry work in the south of Moldova. So they were both in transition time. So having me over there would have caused a lot more work on their part to train me in the job that I need to do at the same time when they're trying to close out ministries. So there wasn't a need at the time for me to be there. The opportunity was there, but with that transitioning going on, it would have been difficult. And during this time, God gave me some great supporters, people that have boosted me up, gave me encouraging words, and kept me accountable. They became my Aaron and Hur, holding my arms up as I battled to push through the discouragement, to persevere. And this North Point family and all the prayer warriors that have lifted me up over the time. A famous quote of Winston Churchill's is, never give in. Never give in. Never. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to conviction of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And I was battling some enemies. Ephesians 6:16 through 19. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, and with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Our Wednesday night crew learned about the armor of God, how God has given us everything we need to win the victory and be triumphant. The secret to success is to keep on keeping on. When we try, fail, and give up, we cannot succeed. But if we keep on trying, we are bound to reach the goal eventually. Someone said, "All that is great and good is done just by patient trying." Only by persevering, trying in the face of difficulty and obstacles, do any of us ever accomplish anything worthwhile. If we are to achieve, we must doggedly refuse to be discouraged by failure. By steadfast pursuit of an end or an undertaking of the most difficult of tasks to be performed. When we're doing anything worthwhile, it is always too soon to give up. We never know when we're doing some work requiring repeated effort that next attempt will put us over the top. Imagine the regret if we stop just one single step short of achieving our goal. Thomas Edison said, "Many of life's failures are people who do not realize how close they are to success when they give up." During this time of struggle, I had to be mindful to wait on Him, to rely on Him. He was providing me with everything I needed to have. I had to be patient, to persevere on through the hard times. It was going to happen, and then it did. At the end of April, just before district council, Greg Bush walked up to me and he said, "Be ready, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen fast." And boy, has it. It has been very, very quick. But at district council, I reconnected with a lady that I had met the previous year, Janet Blakely. And we talked after dinner, and she literally grabbed my hand, because I told her, I said, "I see this sea of pastors or deacons or whoever they are. I don't know who the pastors are to approach that pastor of that church to say, you know, I'm a missionary. I'd like to talk to you." And she grabbed my hand. She said, "Okay, let's go meet some." Before I left the dining hall that night, I had 5 contacts with pastors, and 4 have come on board. Praise the Lord. So it's those kind of things. You know, God knew. He knew what needed to happen, when it needed to happen. And but it was, you know, an open door. It helped me, you know, once she made the introduction, then I could talk about Moldova. That wasn't a problem. But it was just knowing who to talk to. A couple of weeks later, the World Missions Home Office called and said, you have enough funding that you can go now." I had only reached about 32% on pledge funding, but I had enough cash to cover me going for a year. And I hesitated a little bit. It's like, well, God, you called me there for 2 years. But if that's what you want me to do, then I'll do it. And it wasn't until I contacted our missionaries over there that I found out that they are coming back in a year. So we will both be there for a year to work together, and then we'll both return to the States at the same time. So they don't have to worry about me being there a second year alone and, you know, passed me off to a different ministry there. So that is all God's timing at work. And then hopefully as we come back, we'll be able to both, you know, reconfirm our sponsorships and then be able to go back to Moldova on the next term. I know it's very difficult for my daughter. She keeps reminding, it's only a year, right, Mom? You're coming back, right, Mom? I said, well, it's all in God's hands. But we will see each other. It's not forever. So never give up. Never give in. God orchestrated it, and it will happen in His time. Philippians 3:12 through 14, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive that heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul is aware that he had not, nor would not, achieve perfection this side of heaven. He will never in his life attain perfection, in the sense that no further spiritual progress is possible or nothing is left to aim for beyond the point that he has reached. The purpose for which Christ Jesus took hold of him on the Damascus Road remained something that only Paul had to grasp. He compares himself to a runner, the only one objective to finish the race and win the prize. A runner in a race doesn't look over his shoulder to see how much ground he's covered already or where the competition is. The runner keeps his eyes fixed on the finish line. What is behind in part of the race has been completed so far, but it will not help the runner to run faster than others for the first 9/10 of the race to only wear out and be overtaken at the end of the last lap. This life is filled with obstacles and challenges that we must overcome. So too our walk with Christ. We must continue to strive to our goal, which is eternal life. 2 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 says, remember Jesus Christ, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from the beginning of time, to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. And now He has made all of His plans to all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. In this brief summary of the good news by Paul, he reminds us that God's love for us, that He has chosen us, He has sent His Son for us, and Jesus Christ died for us. And because He rose from the grave, He broke the power of death so that we have eternal life through faith in Him. God offers us salvation. Even though we don't deserve it, we must believe in Him and accept His offer. It assures Timothy that God has a plan for his life, as with ours. Since the beginning of time, and ultimately God's plan for us is to be with Him in eternity. So press on. Continue the race. Don't look back, but strive for the prize. Let's pray.